Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Space trash.
Trash in space.
Space trash.
Lifestyles of the rich and Uranus.
Space trash.
Celebrities, they're trash. But the astrology can help us understand.
Transmission incoming. Greetings, trashlings, and welcome back to another episode of Space Trash.
Lifestyles of the rich and Uranus. And I'm Sarah Armour.
And I'm Molly Malshine, and we're here to talk about Big Nose Erasure in Hollywood biopic casting.
Molly had a slam dunk this week on TikTok where she posted her gripe with Small Nose Erasure in Hollywood, and it has actually caused quite the commotion.
Yeah, there's a lot. I didn't realize it's kind of opening a big Pandora's box of questions, comments, and I should have realized that because the reason I made it is because I'm insecure about my own nose and I should have known it was going to strike a nerve with people. So I just thought it would be fun to talk about it on the podcast, some of the issues that have arisen and some of the questions that people have asked.
I'm in.
So it's been really funny because you can tell by the responses who in the comments has a big nose and who has a small nose.
Oh my God, that's so funny. So as a big nose babe myself, please separate us into the categories of the schnozzed or not schnozzed.
Yeah. So, okay. Well, that was one thing. Someone said that it was offensive for me to use the word schnoz.
Oh, really? Schnoz is offensive now? What planet is this?
I know. And I actually deleted that comment. Sorry. Sometimes I say I'm deleting stuff.
You've been so like careful not to be canceled. Imagine if you got canceled for the word schnoz.
I know. I wouldn't even be surprised, honestly. I was getting nervous as the comments were starting to come in because people were, and we're going to get to this, they were immediately discussing anti-Semitism. And I was like, no, but then, yeah, we'll talk about that because you're Jewish, so you can talk about this from a much more authentic place than I can. But the comments that I got, the two different versions, the first version was, oh my God, yes, this is so true. And it bothers me. Those are clearly people with big noses. And then the other ones were, but Olivia Colman is talented. And I was like, oh, okay, so you have a small nose. Like, you get out of this conversation. You have small nose privilege. It's real to have small nose privilege. Sure. And Olivia Colman, give some roles to the gals with beaks. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I want to say I absolutely love Olivia Colman. And I guess it brings up multiple issues because on the one hand, it's like small nose erasure in biopics is different than choosing Elizabeth Colman as the best fit for a role.
You mean big nose erasure? Is
big nose erasure.
From yeah, Olivia
yeah. Small nose erasure is the future, but like big nose erasure is different than like a biopic casting that just shaves down a couple of inches off the bump is different than choosing Olivia Colman to play someone who maybe could have a bigger nose, but isn't you know specifically playing a real person. Like it's like the nose is interpretive.
I disagree. I think it is annoying when I watch The Crown and they cast these button nose bitches to play the queen who famously was a scary looking German lady. it takes me out of the show.
I'm glad to hear you say that. I actually agree. Especially young. She was a scary looking German lady.
Yeah. Middle aged.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Big Frau energy.
Yeah. She's so lucky that she lived as long as she did and became a cute old grandma because in the 70s and 80s, that thing was not thangin'.
It's funny that when she died, either the pictures were of her like recently, like as a cute old lady, or from like when she was 23 and coronated.
Right.
And they also skip the whole middle.
Yeah. It's also really funny because obviously you and I, we read a lot of royal books because it's what people want to hear about on this podcast a lot.
Yeah.
And so often these like old British commentators will be like, the queen was stunningly beautiful in her youth. And I'm like, I don't see that picture. I thought she had a lot of character. She had an interesting face.
I wouldn't call her stunning.
not screen siren. And that's great. No. I think it's great that she was this world famous woman who looked normal. But anyway, we're getting beside the point. Like, yeah, Olivia Colman's good at acting. So are a million people with big noses. Put one of them
right.
in.
It's, yes, that's, I agree.
Like, the whole reason why there's too many people with small noses in these movies is because you have to have a small nose to succeed in Hollywood. Like, it's not because the people with small noses just happen to be better actors. Like, and if you're saying that, that's like, if you're saying, oh, it's Olivia Colman, it doesn't count for her. It's like, no, yeah. Like, she, part of why she gets the jobs is because she has an adorable little British face, you know?
Yeah, but like, that's not anti-Semitism as much as it's just like, it's like, it's the same reason
it's
why.
It's not anti-Semitism
it's the same reason. That's what I'm saying. It's not that it's not annoying, but it's two different things. It's like, there's one thing when you're doing like ethnic or cultural erasure of a real person versus when, yeah, I do think she's a wonderful actress. And I also think, I mean, the Kardashians are like prime example, but like even Kim actually started with a bit of a nose on her.
Oh yeah, for sure. And she
that's
got
like
rid
the
of
one
it.
Most major glaring change in her, like, because she actually does like maintain her look. Like, she was always gorgeous, but she did look more ethnic, and she now looks like Instagram.
Yeah, well, or Instagram looks like her. That's
indeed. And that's the big, right. It's like, what's the saying I'm thinking of?
Chicken or the egg.
Chicken or the egg.
Yeah.
Her face nose or the gram.
Yeah. Her face is optimized for a tiny screen. And like,
right.
Or is the tiny screen optimized for Kim's face? Yeah. We'll never know.
Right. Maybe tiny screens are optimized for tiny noses. And this is essentially like, we should all get the big iPhones just so that the Jewish girls have a little room.
Yeah. So, okay. The thing is, there's a lot of white people with big noses who aren't Jewish.
I was just thinking
that.
Look at you over there with your schnoz, and you're not Jewish. So right. I don't want an Irish nose erasure while I'm taking back the Jewish face.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Like, it kind of annoyed me how quickly, because I talked about a lot of different people. I even talked about Elvis in the video. It annoyed me how very quickly it turned into this thing of like, yes, it is a very important conversation about anti-Semitism and Jewish people being erased in film and their image not being celebrated and upheld. Because I'm like, well, there's like a lot of different ethnicities also have big noses. And here's the craziest part. Okay. First of all, fact check myself. Mm-hmm. The woman who's playing Amy Winehouse, Marisa Abella, she actually does have sort of a Roman nose. I was wrong.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, so it was just a good, it was just a front angle.
Yeah. The pictures made it look like she had a little button nose, but she really doesn't. She actually does have like a legit nose. And here's the second thing.
Welcome back to the club, girl.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm sorry for slandering you on TikTok, but I did think my extended ski slope metaphor was worth it. Definitely. Here's the other thing. Marisa Abella, Jewish.
Whoa. Where's she from? That's not a very Jewish name. I mean, that's the other thing, though. The Jewish name changing has also been like widely, like, not only is it for the Jews, is it nose erasure, but it's also like, maybe just say that your last name is Portman instead of Silverstein or whatever.
Right. Exactly. Like, and also Jewish is, you know, it blurs the lines between race, ethnicity, religion. It's obviously its own individual culture and people share certain characteristics, but also you can convert to being Jewish. You can't convert to being Black unless you're Rachel Dolezal. And we all saw how that went down. So
a whole documentary on how you're actually not Black.
Yeah. So it was interesting to watch the conversation go that way and people being like, a Jewish woman needs to play Amy Winehouse. And it's like, well, she actually is Jewish. So, okay. Mm-hmm. I have this pulled up on my thing and now I can't freaking find it, of course. Oh, okay. According to Wikipedia, her father, and, you know, in order to find this information, I had to do something that feels so wrong in the year 2023. I had to Google Marisa Abella ethnicity. It just feels like I might as well have a tiki torch and a clan hood, because you're not supposed to ask people their ethnicity anymore. But
what is the appropriate way to ask? Like, I do think there is a planet, though, where it's actually like a kind, like, if we weren't all so fucked up with hatred for ourselves and each other, actually finding out what someone's ethnicity is, like, I feel like that's a very, like, getting to know you conversation. So, like, what is the appropriate way to ask or to find out about someone?
I think, like, people will sense if it's genuine benign curiosity or something a little more fucked up, as in when Lady Susan Hussey in Buckingham Palace a few weeks ago asked Ngozi Fulani, I think her name was, asked her like five times in a row, "No, but where are you from?" Like, I think you're allowed to maybe.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Like, and where is she from?
She's from the UK. She's British.
Oh my God. How embarrassing.
There, this was a huge scandal. We definitely talked about it.
I think I must have blacked out for that episode. I have no recollection of that.
And it was this huge thing. And then when Harry was on in an interview in the UK, he was like, "We don't think Lady Susan Hussey's racist." That whole thing was overblown by the media. And all of the Harry and Meghan fans were like, "What?" Like,
is she the same lady who wore the like brooch, whatever? What is that called?
Blackamoor.
Blackamoor brooch.
Yeah. That was Princess Michael of Kent. But we're going on a tangent. Okay. Marisa Abella. I had to Google her ethnicity, which again, I'm very sorry. I know that's it feels awkward, but her father is of Maltese, Libyan, and English descent. So I guess, you know, Maltese, that's Malta, that's like kind of Italy adjacent. And her mother is of Polish Jewish and Russian Jewish ancestry.
Mother's Jewish, you're Jewish.
She's Italian, Libyan, English. Sorry, I'm doing Maltese erasure. She's Maltese, Libyan, English, Polish, and Russian. And she's Jewish. So
thank you for showing up and playing our chaotic Jewish talented queen as one of us.
Yeah. And well, one, yeah. And it was just funny.
Molly's like, "Well, one of you."
I know. I just didn't want people to think that I was trying to like ride on your coattails or anything.
Yeah.
Because but yeah, she does have, I approve of her nose. I do. Now looking again.
Wait, I'm gonna Google it just so I can see the real nose. What's her name? Maria?
Marisa Abella.
Okay, not a Jewish name, but again, let's see this face.
A lot of people would argue that Sarah Armour is not that Jewish of a name. Armour.
It's not a Jewish name at all. Well, Sarah is like ultimate.
But yeah, so I don't know. I just thought it was interesting how immediately it became a debate over Jewish erasure in cinema, which is a real issue that needs to be talked about. But no one realizes that Marisa Abella actually is Jewish.
And she actually does have a prominent facial structure. She actually looks a lot like Amy, actually. This is good casting, actually. But it was worth it to get the joke out. And those frontward-facing photos of her, she should be very proud of.
Yeah, she looks more like Amy from the side, I think.
From the side, maybe? Yeah. Totally. From the side, she looks just like her, yeah. From the front, she doesn't really. It's weird, she's an interesting version. Like, she really does look button-nosed from the front. That's sort of an illusion.
Yeah, it's wild. And she's British. This is an impossible role because Amy Winehouse did have the most distinctive, one of the most distinctive faces of all time, you know.
And voices.
Yeah. Oh my God. How are they going to do the voice? I'm scared for her. But
yeah.
But yeah.
What else has this girl been in? Do we even know? Because like, I'm curious where they found her.
Industry. She's British. It's a British TV show.
My father loves Industry.
Oh, does he?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Side note.
That's cute. I watched the first episode and I need to keep watching it. It was really good. But
he was into it.
Let me see what else people are saying, because there were some really interesting points.
So the two comments. So basically there were two camps, one that made it about anti-Semitism, the other that made it about button-nosed women have acting skills too.
A couple people were like very close to that territory of like, all noses matter. And it's like... Well, historically, the big noses have mattered less in Hollywood to the point where people literally go under anesthesia to get them chopped off. So let us have our moment in the sun, you know?
Well, and I think it's interesting that, like, again, not to beat that drum, but like within the comment section, there is a bit of non-Semitic big nose women are basically left out of your comment section completely.
Yeah, exactly. People like me, people who are just, you know, I'm not really reaping those full white privilege benefits.
Right, because you have this big Jewish schnoz. No, I'm just kidding.
And just kidding. I'm absolutely reaping all the white privilege benefits and I'm very sorry and ashamed for that. So don't misunderstand my point. Oh, a lot of people said they should at least give them prosthetics.
Okay, now that is insulting.
Yeah, that is a crazy hot take.
Yeah.
They should at least give them prosthetics. I thought we all kind of agreed that prosthetic nose was not the done thing anymore.
Well, it is when Katherine Hahn was cast as Joan Rivers, Sarah Silverman had like a snap moment, and she is the best rep for her. She says her sister's a rabbi. Sarah, you're a rabbi in your own right, mm-hmm. as well, because she really is such a hardcore perfect rep for the Reform Jewish, like, cool woman conversation. And I'm so grateful to her as she's basically why I do stand up too. I remember when I was a kid seeing her really young and being like, oh, that's me. Like, oh, I'll just do that. But she basically calls it out and says, like, she says that the definition of Jew face, which I always just described as how my face looks. I used to do jokes about it. So lol, but
she actually did a joke about Amy Winehouse to that effect.
Oh, really? What was the joke?
Yeah. At an award show, she was just, I forget what she said, but she said something about her being Jewish. And then the crowd was like, and Sarah Silverman like gestured to her own face and was like, come on, she's got one of these. It was funny.
Right. Okay. So, but she basically said Jew face is when a non-Jewish actor is cast in a particularly Jewish biopic, and that the person's persona was heavily centered around Judaism. So like if they were like shticky, or if they were, you know, sort of a New York Yiddish accent, like the traditional sort of Jewish stereotype. So Joan Rivers, for example, for Katherine Hahn to play Joan Rivers, she's going to have to do the New York Jewish thing, which yeah. is in Sarah. And Sarah's like, Katherine is my friend. I love her. She's going to do great. But in general, I can think of 10 people who would play the part just as well, who wouldn't be like mimicking my people.
Also, like, why not give the role to someone who's just getting their start? Like, there's so many comics who could use a break like that.
Oh, totally. I mean, I think the same goes for Maisel, though. I mean, Rachel, I was literally going to say that. Suck my dick.
You hate Sarah hates Maisel. She calls it Maisel, and she hates it. Marvelous.
I hate it. I hate everything about it. And God, like, if my aunt, if you're listening, I totally love you and I respect that you love the show. And Debbie and Grandma, like, I know, you know, I would love it. And I probably would. And honestly, half the writer's room are people that I've done comedy. I know the people that write the show, but not like the writing staff, it's our peers, right? And they're all Jewish, for the record. But it is like, okay, Rachel Brosnahan couldn't be less Jewish. She's doing, like, everybody in that show is like doing our culture as a bit. And it's like, I don't want to see somebody playing Jewish, and I don't want to see somebody like just walking into doing stand-up comedy after a fight with her man, and she accidentally just became a big stand-up comic. It's like, I don't like any of that.
She showed her boobs in the first episode. That would never have happened back then. It was so weird. And it's a woman that made the show and directed it. Like, you would think that she wouldn't make a woman get her boobs out for no reason. But I like the show.
I think she's gay.
No, she's got a husband.
Oh, okay. I was just literally spreading rumors. I got that.
I know. I also don't think it was like for her own titillation that she's.
I was implying that she's like, come on, get it. Like, come here, Rachel. Now we got you instead. You sure it's little titty. Maisel would have done it.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, yeah, Jew face, not a great thing to be doing in 2023. But again, Marisa Abella, Jewish, and nose is bigger than natural. I thought. So
yeah. I guess the first thought that I have is, if it isn't a like racial issue, because look, we all know the camera adds 10 pounds, right? So like, is there something to, I mean, even like Tom Cruise, why is Tom Cruise, aside from Scientology, why, and how cute is a button he's always been, but why has he had such an easy time just like creating such a mega career? Because he's like 5'4". Like, so we know that tiny actually is Hollywood preferred, not because it's better or like there's an actual emotional preference, but in terms of filmmaking, it makes it easier and more visibly, like, we all know that like no matter what we spin it, like symmetry and small features, like do they look better on camera, or are we just programmed to not see Jewish faces or big nosed faces? I don't know.
Exactly.
But I do think there is something about like the aesthetics of filmmaking, which is like, I mean, it's why we all get everything done, because we're like, well, we want to look pretty for the camera.
Well, I wish that that was the case, but I don't think it is because, first of all, what is pretty?
Can you imagine if the camera added 10 pounds to your nose? I feel like that's every picture of me, though.
Right. Like, the thing is, there are big nose people in TV and film going all the way back in history. They're all coded as villains.
Oh.
So it's not about what looks good on camera. And that's really, that makes me sad that you would say that because,
well,
you and I would also look good on camera. Look at us right now. We're stunning. Like,
I mean, Zoom is a wonderful medium for us for sure. But I mean, I definitely do think though that like sometimes I've seen myself like on camera from different angles. I was in film school and like I acted in a lot of films too. And sometimes I was like, especially when I was in someone else's where like I had nothing to do with the like editing of it. I was like, is that me? Like, it's like a little bit like, what? Like,
well, it's because we're brainwashed that big noses are ugly. That's all it is. It's not because we objectively look worse, you know, like even in Disney movies, they would go out of their way to draw bigger noses on the villains. Like, at Jafar. It's like, you didn't even have to cast an actor for that, but you just went out of your way to give him like the biggest nose.
But that in particular, I think is anti-Semitism.
Yeah.
Very purposefully. Like, Disney's a notoriously anti-Semitic company.
Yeah.
So anything that comes out of that realm. And also there's an argument that I've heard.
I think Disney, like Walt Disney himself was anti-Semitic. I don't think it still is. Like, I don't know. I don't know, though. I have no idea.
I don't know. Yeah. I've never been on the in with Diz, but if you guys have some intel, let us know.
Yeah. They seem to be really trying these days. I mean,
but
like,
I mean, that's my
a lot
big
of
joke.
Hardcore right wing people are like boycotting them because they're not biased enough and shitty enough. You know what I mean?
Oh, lol. The joke that I almost did on late night, and then it was like actually stolen from me, and then it went viral on someone else's someone I toured with. And the only time I ever had a confrontation with someone like, yo, you stole my joke. But that was my big joke. My Jewish Disney princess joke was my big joke. There's no Jewish Disney princess. It was like the whole thing. So I totally have thought about this. But yeah, I mean, I've oftentimes heard it stated that the way that we perceive witch face is coded Jew face. That's actually a specifically anti-Semitic. And actually, if you really want to talk about it, when we're talking about like the beginning of civilization and Adam and Eve, actually Lilith is the witch, is like Jewish women being either erased from society completely or villainized or witchified or whatever is extremely historical.
Yeah. And that is why it's like, if you want to succeed in Hollywood and you have a nose like me or you, you get it taken care of immediately.
So two of our shining examples, first of all, Gal Gadot, I think that's her natural nose. She's very lucky in terms of, not even lucky, I shouldn't even talk like that, but my grandmother too, tiny button nose, you know, could swear. Are you sure you're Jewish? We're sure.
Oh yeah. Many such
cases.
We did
a 23 and me. But then it's like you look at somebody like Scarlett Johansson or Natalie Portman, who have had these long standing Hollywood careers. And the first thing both of them did were change their names and change their noses.
Wait, Natalie Portman didn't get a nose job.
She definitely did.
Okay, now I'm looking this up.
Look it up.
She didn't have like a prominent nose before, though. She probably just got like a little tiny bit of nostril work.
It doesn't matter. That's a nose job.
I don't think she did. These pictures of her when she's little, she has the tiniest little nose ever.
Okay, I will confirm, but I do believe that she has had a nose job, but maybe not. I have no idea. Either way.
Yes, Scarlett Johansson, I think, definitely got hers refined, but it wasn't really that stereotypically Jewish looking, I think, before.
No, it never was. No,
if I'm allowed
to, it just was more of a bowl.
I don't know.
I mean, I think when we're talking about stereotypically Jewish noses, what we're talking about is the bridge. And I think what we're seeing with a young Johansson and perhaps even a young Portman is more of a bulb. It's a nose tip bigness, not a nose bridge business. But either way.
It always blew my mind that you could get a nose job that wasn't to get rid of the bump. You know what I mean? Like, I just always was like, wait, there's other problems you can have with your nose besides the problem I have. That's mind blowing.
Yeah.
I also was like, my brain was completely broken for so many years because I would look at, oh my God, you could show me the most hideous piece of shit person in the world. And if they had a little nose, I'd be like, oh fuck, she's prettier than me.
Oh, I know.
You know?
No, that is what it's like to be a Jewish person.
Yeah. I don't think people
I think my generation sort of has a different, if you grew up like I did and you happen to have like a specifically like, I think like reformed Jewish, like feminist mother, like a la Carol King generation, who actually also had sort of more of a bulbous Jewish nose than a bridge Jewish, but okay, either way. Then I think, like, I do think, like, I have had two, like, I guess as much as I want to resist it, I guess I do actually have more of a respect for just what I look like. Like, I've had two deviated septum. That was a joke I used to do in stand-up too, where I had two deviated septum surgeries, and both times I specifically like gun to the doctor's head, like, don't you change my fucking nose one
bit. Wow.
And they didn't. But it's funny because when my joke I used to do is when I did it when I was in Washington working at a real estate company, LOL. Nobody at the real estate company was Jewish. It was like a gay Aryan Republican only real estate firm. Very, very funny for a first job. I stuck out like a sore thumb, and yeah, it was sort of like the novel Jewish. But anyway, I came back to work, and I swear to God, they all knew I got a deviated septum surgery because that is what I was doing. And they all were like, hey, Sarah, like love the new nose. And I'd be like, I didn't change my nose. And that was my big joke. I'd be like, what do you think I said to the doctor? Keep it ethnic. Anyway, but I did actually is the thing. But anyway, yeah, I think that the other piece of it is that there are examples in Hollywood, like Jennifer Grey would tell you that her nose job ruined her career.
I know, but she's the only person in the history of the world who that happened to.
Yeah, I was trying to think I don't think there's like, anyone else that's, I mean, Chloe was close there for a second, but actually now her nose has settled. But like,
also no one's casting Chloe in anything. It doesn't really matter. She can look as much like or as little like Michael Jackson as she wants.
You know? Right.
No, that's very funny. No one's going to be like, actually, you're not good for the Keytruda migraine commercial anymore. Like, sorry, you've crossed the Rubicon. But yeah, like Madonna famously prominent nose, never fixed it. Italian. Mm-hmm. And someone pointed out in the comments, Julia Garner playing her, she has a good size nose.
She does actually. Yeah. Julia Garner is a bigger nose rep.
Yeah. Also a couple people wrote, Amy Winehouse does not have a big nose.
Well, I guess I have been told that big is in the eye of the beholder. Like I've been told that I don't really have a big nose either, but it's like, I do. And it's also, yeah, we don't need to get into it, but the reason that my nose isn't as perfect as I like actually isn't because of the nose. It's because of my jaw. So we don't have to.
Oh God, the underbite thing. Yeah. That's a whole nother episode.
Whole other thing. Yeah. Very, very much my deep dark shit. But like, yeah, I mean, Meryl Streep has a big nose. Cate Blanchett has a big nose. Giselle has a big nose. Claire Danes.
Yeah.
I mean, there are a lot of big nose. Sarah Jessica Parker, one of the biggest noses in cinematic history.
Also not Jewish.
Sarah Jessica Parker, not Jewish. No.
Yeah.
But what's like Rachel Weisz, Barbara Streisand, Claire Danes, Jewish. You know, I think one of the biggest things that we were sold young that is an absolute disservice. Jennifer Aniston as Rachel Green, not Jewish. And she was a big nose. She was a big nose young girl who got a nose job to play the part of Jewish Rachel Green. I don't remember if the character Rachel Green had a nose job written into the plot or not, but there's no way Jennifer Aniston reads Jewish.
Yeah, well, she's Greek, so.
Not Jewish.
Yeah.
Blake Lively sort of has a big nose.
Yes, she got a nose job, though.
Oh, so they're saying that sure. So the nose that we see now, she did have because she still does sort of have a prominent nose, but you're saying she had an even bigger nose.
Yeah, she's got some of the best work done in Hollywood. Like, just based on my completely uneducated opinion, like if you look at her before and after pictures, it's a masterclass in how to look like the most stunning version of yourself without losing yourself, you know?
Thank you, Blakey.
Yeah, someone said if they can make fake teeth for Emma Watson as Hermione, they can make fake big noses for these biopics.
Well, no, that's totally different. Hermione's not, they're not like, they're actually putting her in costume. Hogwarts isn't like a real place. And like, Hermione's not playing the part of, but yeah, you could also just cast someone with a bigger nose. I don't think there's any reason to throw a prosthetic nose. I mean, it is so complicated though, because like at the same time, for example, like, did you see the Russell Crowe playing Roger Ailes doc, or not even doc, but it was like a biopic series, called The Loudest, I think it was called The Loudest Voice, and he had a weight suit and prosthetic facial features, and it's like, that wasn't, he was like, I don't know, I sort of feel like the costuming of some real life villains, I don't know why that doesn't, like, when someone's not Jewish, it doesn't strike me as insulting to mock their, I just feel like there is such a fine line, you know, like Zoe Saldana is getting hated on for being not black enough to play Nina Simone, and yet, you know, and so I don't know, I just think there's like this, there's just a really big, huge spectrum of aesthetic choices, and especially theatrical aesthetic choices, where I don't know, it's just, it's such a, it's like every case is different about whether or not it is. I mean, look, I hate to even admit this, I loved Juliette Lewis and Remisio, whatever his name is, Ribéry. They both Giovanni, when they, that movie where they were both special needs and fell in love. Like,
that's not allowed anymore.
It's so not allowed anymore. And Leo doing Gilbert Grape, it's like, these are great performances, but like, it is insulting.
Yeah, it is. And it's not really based on anything in like the DSM-5, you know, it's just kind of people being like, if I just talk, don't do it.
I'm so cut. But that's what they were doing. That's what it was. It was like, I love you, Daniel.
I know. Yeah.
That's a good impression of Juliette Lewis, not of people who are.
Right. And they can cast people. I mean, that was one good part about I Am Sam. Yes, Sean Penn in the lead was doing complete was autistic great. Minstrel show. But
great.
No, but all of his friends that he had in it, that they cast people really with special needs. So that was cool.
It's really interesting. Remember? Now that you're saying that, I remember. But now I'm thinking about it and I'm like, OK, but like, at that point, it's a little bit like, what is like the white savior version for, like, you know, like, I don't know. I feel like the blending of it is a little odd.
At least they gave some people jobs who actually need them, is my point. But then, like,
sure,
because my uncle has special needs and he has a job, like, you need to have, like, people who have special needs have jobs. But then the other argument that you could make, which is 100% valid, is, okay, well, if you pulled Sean Penn out of the equation, no one's going to see that movie, you know, like, the star power is the draw, and it's what gets people in to see the story. Like, when Scarlett Johansson played like an Asian person or whatever that was, like, and also, like, apparently no one in Asia.
When did who did Scarlett play?
Famously, Scarlett Johansson played an Asian character in a movie, and like, everyone was up in arms about it, and
Googling.
but it's just kind of funny because, like, apparently from what I've read in a lot of different places, the idea of cultural appropriation is not really a thing in Asia, and also if you're in a majority Asian country, they're not like, oh, we need more Asian representation, you know, they're kind of like, oh, whatever, this lady's not Asian, but she's doing an interesting interpretation of the role. You know what I mean? So, like,
yeah, the only time in television that I've ever heard people, well, I feel like at awards shows, we hear a lot about, like, whenever an Asian wins anything, they're like, finally. And which I give them credit for. Actually, there are some incredible Asian filmmakers who I've stanned for many, many years, and they deserve all the awards. But I also think on The Bachelor, everyone's.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Very upset about the Bachelor Nation. Not only just vanilla cookie cutter white. I don't know if there are any Jews on that show either, but like there's barely any Asian contestants and there's never been an Asian lead ever. So I don't know. But it's like if they're less sensitive about it, no problem. No, I'm kidding. But like, I don't know. It's just interesting because isn't that weird? Like we spend so much time being like, there's not been a black. So it's like we've had like a few black contestants and a few black leads. But like, yeah, it's still underrepresented. But yeah, again, that would be interesting. Casey, put a pin in for when we resume next week. Bachelor starts next week, everybody. Get ready. Yeah, but I think it's interesting that like that's where the Asians are like, we deserve love. Like, I don't know. I just think it's funny. We get upset about what?
Yeah, with The Bachelor, it's kind of like, okay, this is like the dumbest show ever.
Right.
Why are we? I don't know.
What the producers should do if they were smart is, even if it's a lie, because again, and let us know if you're interested. George Santos, I just want to say, to me, is one of the funniest characters that's ever like come into modern like politics. I mean, funnier than George Bush when we first kind of caught wind of all of his isms. Like this guy, the stuff he's lied about is so insane and just so fucking wild. Yeah, so if you guys want to know more about him, I would love to look at his chart because, like, what a wild dude. Like, holy shit. And also just, like, it's depressing, though, because it's, like, at the end of the day, the Republicans don't care. They're like, we're not losing the seat.
Right, but, and he's just a crazy person. I don't know. It's like less crazy. It's less interesting to me when it's just a crazy person, you know?
Yeah, but he's a crazy person who's now has a seat.
I know. A lot of people were saying that Lady Gaga should play Amy Winehouse, which made no sense to me. I don't see that at all.
Oh, I could see that. But yeah, I mean, Gaga is another traditionally could play Barbara Streisand, large nose queen.
Right. But also, would that be Jew face, in your opinion?
Well, see, that's the whole thing, right? It's like, is it Barbara an anti-Semitic issue or is it a anti-nosetic issue? Because if it's right. Like, actually, you should cast people that are in the same likeness as the person that we all actually knew. I mean, these are not just like fictional roles. Then it really having somebody that, and I don't think that in general, Amy Winehouse, I mean, she's British, like she's not like coming at you with her Jewishness, you know, like, so like, I do think Gaga could play her. That feels less revisionist to me than Han playing Rivers.
Okay.
Because you know what I mean, though? There's two different things. It's like small nose erasure is different than Jew face.
Right. And what I was talking about was it's big nose erasure.
I keep saying small nose erasure. No, I'm really a prophet for the future. Watch out, button noses. We're coming through.
No one's erasing small noses. No, it's not going to happen. It's just not going to happen.
It's so funny. They're just so cute. I know. I'm dying for when I was a kid and I used to like fuck around with myself. Let me show you what I used to do.
Like the tables are never turning in that way. You know what I mean? Like we will oscillate between Coke bottle and heroin chic, but we will never oscillate to nose with character because it's just, I don't know, like it's so entrenched, the negative imagery that's associated with a woman having a big nose.
The truth is bigger nose. So burned in. I think Nick could absolutely attest to this. And I've heard it from a few of my lovers, big nose women, way better in bed.
That I could believe. Definitely better sense of humor. I mean,
we don't have as much. We're not as precious about like what our little face looks like. That's why I always think Kim K is bad in bed. Cause it's like, she's working so hard on keeping her face certain perfect where it's like, if you kind of are living this existence where like, you don't have a perfect face anyway, you could really go hard. O face, you know, because in lieu of Jew face, oh, I'm coming.
Yeah. And it's just never going to be dainty. So it's always going to be sort of, there was another, oh my God, she's taping her nose up with tape.
This is what I used to do.
Okay.
When I was young.
You look like a Who from Whoville.
And I would have everybody call me Mackenzie.
Oh my God. I need to take a picture. Mackenzie? That's hilarious.
Mackenzie.
Okay, but Sarah, what if in your worst
nightmare, I feel like I look prettier though.
No, wait, turn to the side just a little. No, you don't. What if in your worst nightmare, like let's say little baby Sarah is like going to bed at night and she's like, I just want to be Mackenzie. Like I just want to be I don't want to be Jewish anymore. I want to be like a white girl that assimilates and just like fits into the culture. And what if you wake up Mackenzie and you have my Mackenzie nose?
My mom has Mackenzie nose. So it's really interesting that you went there, but actually this is now that I'm realizing. So my mother got one of the ski slope nose jobs when she was 18. My grandmother Esther was very, very upset with her, but Myra is vain. And she had a very Jewish
nose. How did she have the money for that when she was 18?
She stole my grandma's credit cards.
And your grandma had a credit limit that permitted a nose job in the 70s?
I guess that's a good question. I will ask her who paid for the nose job. I mean, she also was like, they hustle.
Do you want to know something really weird? You're not going to believe. My mom also has a ski slope nose.
You're kidding? Nose job?
No, we don't do nose jobs.
So Myra got a nose job when there was only one nose job. And she, I think part of actually why I'm even afraid, even though she gets Botox, I'm afraid to do anything is because I was scarred from how much my mother is still in mourning over. I let them take, because her nose act, I mean, she's cute, but like it is a little ski slope nose that is clearly maybe now it had settled and maybe because noses grow now it looks more normal. But like, yeah, it's interesting because she said she left, she took the bandages off and she like cried for 3 years. She was like, oh my God, like I don't look like anybody. Like I don't look like, yeah, I'll show you pictures before and after. Like she just is like they, and my grandmother was very, very beautiful and very, very vain. And she was like, Myra, like, how could you do this to your face? Like, are you fucking kidding?
Oh, I'm sure she looked great, though, still.
I mean, it was just a tiny nose. It just didn't look like how she looked. And yeah, so when I was growing up, I wanted to get a nose job a million times at growing up, like as a high school student, as a college student. Mother would be like, no, don't touch your face, you know? And then sometimes I also would think, because my mother and I are very similar and I very much triggered the shit out of her in every single way. And sometimes I feel like I'm just haunting her with my face. Like I'm just like the ghost of nose jobs past, like, could have looked like this.
That's good. Usually,
no, but she did. She makes it very clear to me. Actually, she had a worse, and I've used it against her in fights. I've been like, how could you say I'm pretty? Like when I was like, you know, growing up and like, I was just feeling like bad about myself and like fighting my mom. But I'd be like, how could you say I'm pretty? Like, you had my nose and you got a nose job. And she's like, no, no, no. My nose was way worse than your nose. And I'd be like, okay, well, I guess so.
I always wonder that how that works when you get plastic surgery and then you have kids and they don't look like you.
Well, that's why I also, it was so weird this week too. Like if you see like Kylie posts all these pictures of Stormy where she's like, my little twin. And it's like, okay, maybe she looks like what you did when you were born or growing up, but like, nobody even remembers what you looked like before you started getting plastic surgery when you were 16.
Yeah, like Kylie, you've had a head transplant. I'm lucky.
You have no idea what you look like.
Yeah, I just had the bad luck of the draw to get my dad's nose, and so did Casey instead of my mom's nose. But it also could have been my grandmom's nose. I don't know. There's a lot of big noses in my family. But and like being Catholic, it's like you get what you get. And like you don't get plastic surgery. That's wasteful, you know? Right. And like even if you were rich, it would be like such, it would be so looked down upon to get plastic surgery.
I will say this. There's an interesting, I think anti-Semitism until recently, actually, I guess we do have Kanye to blame. Thank you, Kanye, for another polarizing public discourse. But until recently, I don't think I've ever really experienced anti-Semitism whatsoever. But I actually had I was thinking about getting a Hebrew necklace. You know, I'm reading the Torah, it's for fun. But I was thinking about getting something like a nameplate necklace, but a Hebrew nameplate necklace. And then I was like, oh my God, no. And I actually had the thought for the first time in my life, like, no, you don't want to just like wear, like, you don't want to like advertise that you're Jewish, which is funny too, because like my face, my personality are kind of like advertisements in themselves. Like, I don't know if I need to like rub it in, you know, but it was interesting. It was the first time where I was ever like, oh my God, no, like I will, like, I will become a target.
Yeah. Oh, that's sad. That
yeah, sucks. It kind of is. Like, it's interesting. I mean, and so I think on some level too, the like, you know, because it is traditionally, it's extremely common for especially Jewish women not only to get no jobs in Hollywood, but to change their names.
Yeah.
Like the more that you can assimilate, the more that you can hide. That's why I think it's funny when it's like Hollywood's run by Jews. It's like, how could it be run by Jews? And then also like a fucking, the underground railroad of Jewish actors. Like, I mean, that's a bad example. I cut that. Hold on. Long pause. That's, that joke doesn't work. But like, you know what I'm trying to say? Like, it's like,
yeah, well, I think it's because people are really dumb and they think that because someone changed something, they associate that with hiding. And they think that if you're hiding, it's because you're doing something nefarious. And it's just like, okay,
that's interesting.
Yeah, because there's a lot of, obviously, anti-Semitism is the reason why, like, Natalie Hirschlag is now Natalie Portman. But
right,
like, there's also people, again, who aren't Jewish, who just had, like, names that didn't pop, and they changed it, you know?
Right, exactly. It's sort of this, it's analogous to the, like, cast a Jew or cast a big nose. Like, would it be okay to cast a big nose in lieu of a Jew because it was actually just a better fit for the role? You know, but that's right. It's not actually the same issue. There's an anti-Semitic component, but also, right, all the Kardashians have nose jobs. None of them are Jewish.
Right. Or just cast Rachel Brosnahan, who doesn't even have the nose.
I mean, she couldn't be less Jewish. She's so not Jewish to me. I think she's so not Jewish.
I actually, like, for me, looking at her, like, in her photo shoots.
I mean, okay, I'll say this. She sort of looks like, she has, like, the same look as, like, maybe my grandma. But the whole thing with my grandma is, like, you, bitch, you don't look Jewish. we rib her about it. She loves it.
I didn't know that was the whole thing with your grandma.
Yeah, well, and it was really, really lucky for her, too, because she grew up in, like, private schools in Connecticut. So, like, there weren't that many Jews anyway. And the Jews that she was with were kind of, like, dominant prominence.
Yeah. Also, you know, people throughout history, like, everyone who immigrated through Ellis Island had their name changed. That's why we have so many weird-ass, nonsensical names.
Well, that's why I'm armor.
Yeah, and it's just so weird that people only hold it against Jewish people. Like, I don't know why so many people are so, like, dedicated to this idea that Jewish people are, like, sneaking around. It's like, why? What?
Well, it's basically like the Ouroboros. It's like the snake eating its own tail, because actually Jewish people are sneaking around, but it's not because we're hiding or doing something bad. It's because you keep trying to kill us for, like, the last couple of centuries, millennia. Yeah. I mean, right. From the beginning of time, you've been trying to kill the Jews.
And I think people, again, this is all, like, being dominated by the very stupid. It's like they don't comprehend how you can look white but also have a distinct, like, ethnicity or religion within that. They just, like, don't get it at all. It's like the people who, like, most of the people that you meet, I mean, I'm just going to make a broad statement that I have no, is not backed up by anything, it's anecdotal. The people that I meet that are anti-Semitic are the ones that are just the most wonder bred white Midwestern. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's not who, like, people where I grew up are Irish or Italian or Polish, and, like, there's people that are Jewish and they're like, oh yeah, it's just another ish kind of, you
100% know? Right, and that's why, and of all the people that I'm, like, really close to, it's like, right, very few people that I'm very close to are not an ish of whatever kind, unless they're black or blackish.
Right, which I think counts as, like, it's like people that have sort of a subgenre within being American or being whatever nationality they are. But the people who are literally just American, just from England, just from Ireland, just from Germany, like, those people that I meet who literally don't meet anyone who isn't, like, sharing genes with them, really. Those are the people who will just come out with this stuff where I'm like, oh my God, are you Hitler? You know what I mean? Like, just people who they're not exposed, and they're confused by the idea of having another identity in addition to American. I think that's part of it.
Yeah. Well, I think it's interesting because it's, like, biblically, like, if we go back to, like, the Jesus story where the separation between the Christians and the Jews, like, sort of occurred. The thing that is just really stupid about anti-Semitism from just, like, the Christian white perspective is, like, you're literally still in a literal family feud fight that happened 2023 years ago. You know, it's like, yeah, anybody who is of the Abrahamic religion background is the confusing thing about
Jewish. Are you talking about the whole Jesus thing? Like, are we beefing with Jesus? Okay.
Well, yeah, it's Jesus was Jewish. Like everyone's, it was just one group.
Yeah, being raised Catholic, I never was under the impression really, like, okay, I saw Amy Schumer doing stand-up saying, like, oh, everyone hates us, you guys, because we killed Jesus. And that was, like, the first time I ever heard of a stereotype of, like, Jewish people being involved in Jesus dying. I had no idea.
Really?
And I've only ever heard Jewish people bring it up. So, like, I think it's, like,
Who do you think killed Jesus?
Just the government.
Yeah, but you know what it is, though? It's that it actually is Jewish erasure, because what you say is the government. I don't know if it's better or worse that you're like, because it's not the Jews killed Jesus or the government killed Jesus. It's like the community, and that was a Jewish community.
Yeah, the community is like the government, like somebody right. who was like, this guy's a rabble rouser. We don't want him around anymore. I never was taught, oh, this was Jewish people, you know? So I think like the idea, like I think there's this idea that we get taught that and it's like part of the root of anti-Semitism. But in my experience, it was not a thing. We just got taught like, oh yeah, Jewish people are a big fan of Jesus. They think he was cool. They just don't think he was the son of God. And like, it's fine.
It's just interesting because like Jesus is coming off of the literal Abrahamic descendant line. You know, so actually I'm curious about that. Christians, were you raised beefing still about the fact that the palace killed Jesus? I also think it's interesting because I would love to know from Muslims if you were raised, because I also think the other piece of it, the anti-Semitism, the through line, like it's like, you know, Abraham had many sons and his first son actually wasn't with a Jewish woman. It's like the spare was born first in the Abrahamic religion, right? So the heir was Isaac because of the covenant with God and Sarah. But either way, he had many wives and he had many partners, which actually is a really good thing culturally, because otherwise we would literally all be inbred. Like the only reason that if you believe the sort of biblical text as one version of the written story of people, but it's also very similar. I mean, if you look at Indian, you know, ancient Indian texts, it's all kind of the same parables over and over anyway. So it's all interesting to me that it's all kind of the same story, but ultimately it's like, yeah, how much are you still holding on to this identity of who you are based on, you know, if they happen like events that happened 2000 years ago. But then at the same time, I think about, I'm totally mind fucked by this because it's like, that's also the problem with the Jews. The truth is, why do the Jews feel that they have a right to reclaim Israel? Because God told Abraham, you know, 2000 years before Jesus was even born, that the Jews own Israel. So it's like, oh my God, like we're just all stuck in these. I do think like the programming of our culture is moving into, I hope that we just move, not that we should ignore. Look, I'm a Cancer Capricorn. I love history. I love ancestry. I love like the stories of us and the family karma and all of it. But at the same time, like, I do think there is something really hopeful about, you know, the eventual melding into becoming like world people, because we get to sort of restart in terms of, I think there is a way to reset, because all of any hatred of another group in general is generational.
Or it's just not understanding. I don't think it's always fully generational. I think a lot of the time it is passed down. Like when you're growing up, you definitely meet kids who say racist shit and you're like, whoa, where the hell did that come from? And then you meet their parents and you're like, oh, but I do think that like racism in the sense of tribalism has been around forever and ever and ever. And like, if we were still tribes in the woods or whatever, if we saw another tribe come up, we would immediately be like, wait, are you friend or foe? Like we would assume that they were going to steal our shit, no matter who they are, what they look like. And like racism is just the modern day version
That's
of that.
Exactly
like, scarcity mindset, you know, of
scarcity mindset. And that every tribe is coming to colonize or coming to steal your shit.
And it's like this false sense of trust in people who are similar to you and the people who are around you, which can get you into more trouble than not. A lot of the time, like it can be great if you have a great family that you trust above all else. That's amazing. It's also the way that like pedophiles thrive is in families, because, oh, we're similar. We're in the same tribe. We're tribal. It's the way like, you know what I mean? So it's never, that's why like, you know, rape, molestation, there's this myth that it's always done to you by an outsider who's hiding in a bush. And it's never, it's always never. Someone on the inside.
Right.
And, but we still have this idea that like, it's always going to be an outsider. And I think that is like in our DNA, and if you don't interrogate it, then you become racist.
Well, it's kind of interesting too, though, because like hearing you say that, and also hearing you say that, like, the Jews were never a part of the Jesus conversation for you is like almost kind of the same thing in a way, because it's like,
do you want us to think you guys killed him?
I want us to understand that it's all one conversation.
Well, I think the thing is, the reason why they don't teach it that way is because they don't want kids to think it was like inherently because they were Jewish and he was Christian.
Oh. That's what I was going to say. It's not because he was Jewish, but it was inter-tribe. I guess that's what I'm saying. It was from the same tribe. And
exactly.
And even the denial of like,
that's why it's not
from
really...
my family. It's like, actually, no, it was from within the family.
Right. That's why it's not relevant to the conversation. That's why they don't treat us.
Right.
That because yes. Then you're just creating a bunch of little anti-Semites who can't understand the nuance. So it's like, yeah, you just say, yeah, the people that were in charge at the time didn't like what he was doing for whatever reason. And it has that, because then there probably was like a Jewish government two towns over that was like, oh yeah, that guy's cool, you know, like,
right? And then they became Christians, but it's all the same.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with what religion was in power. It just has to do with the fact that like he was being annoying. He was annoying people.
Yeah, he was actually the original like Jewish Hollywood star, and they were like, shut him up. He wishes he had a smaller nose.
Yeah,
I think we could watch him if he had a smaller nose.
I think a lot of what we're talking about too is like anti-Muslim as well. That's another
100%
part of the conversation also. And it is really interesting because it's like, you know, there's also in the Black community, there's a lot of people who get judged for having a certain type of facial features and noses as well. It's like in every community, like we're all just torturing each other, and we're all like looking for these facial markers of like who's in, who's out, who's one of us, who's not. And it's just such a waste of time, and it's so annoying. But you know, actors are not going to be the ones to interrogate this and stop getting nose jobs. So it's got to be the comics. And that's why I'm really glad that we're having this conversation.
I agree. And I want to just say shout out to Lea Michele for keeping that big schnoz. I do think singing saves, like, because actually, I mean, even part of the reason why I didn't want to change my face wasn't just because I'd be fucking, but it was also because I do actually have like kind of a good voice. And at that time I was more into it, and I didn't want to change my singing voice.
Yeah.
Which is also why Barbara didn't change her nose.
I was going to say, this is also why movie biopics always have such a realism problem, because musicians more so than actors, I'm sorry.
I'll go.
Yeah, they can coast on talent. Actors,
1,000%.
Even if you're like slightly weird looking, if you're an actor, if your face is blown up that huge, you're gonna notice some flaws and you're gonna get it changed. You know, like it's gonna eat away at you more and more and more. And also acting, you're at the mercy of other people and what they think of you. In order to get cast in something, someone else has to think you're attractive. So you're always gonna be more susceptible to that pressure. But whereas if you're, you know, Billie Eilish, who again, I shaded in my video because I'm sorry, she has a button nose and I don't like it. She is never
button nose and big titties.
I know. Go away.
And is like a nepo baby, but not to the point that we're going to like hate her for it, because we don't really know who her parents are.
I know. And she's like, oh, I know. I'll dye my hair green and my only friend is my brother and people will have to think I'm an underdog. It's like, no, you.
That was such a strategic Oscar the Grouch cosplay that she tried to just like slip in there, like, no, I'm not Big Bird. No, I'm not Big Bird. I'm Oscar. And it's like, no, you're fucking Big Bird. You're the star of the goddamn show. You're Elmo.
Right.
Hollywood elite.
Again, very talented though. But what I'm saying, she was a bad example. Like Miley Cyrus, you know, like Miley Cyrus, if she was predominantly acting, the point I'm trying to make is musicians can be a little funny looking.
They are ugly. I think actually that's part of what makes the music good, because they're like the pain of not getting anyone to love you back.
It's the reason why men learn instruments, is to get girls.
Right. That's why I also think like Harry Styles and John Mayer, just one example, like why they're so dangerous,
because they're actually
like,
good
you
looking.
Actually hot guys with a guitar, like you hot guys with talent, like fuck you. Of course they're womanizers. No shit.
Yeah, exactly. Is Harry a womanizer? He seems like a serial monogamist.
I think I don't know. Did you ever see Don't Worry, Daddy?
Don't worry, darling.
Oh, my God. Sorry. Wow.
No, don't say another word about it, because I really need to watch it.
Okay. Then we can discuss.
Okay.
The second thing I was going to say, let me try to think. It was something about how deeply underrepresented Muslims in Hollywood are as well. And it actually is like sort of the Muslim pain point, which is that like we're obsessed with Jewish anti-Semitism or not anti-Semitism, and we run Hollywood and we're all getting no job to change our names. Whereas like, yeah,
That could be a longevity issue. I mean, Jewish people have been migrating to America in pretty big numbers for a very, very long time. Whereas I feel like when I was growing up, I didn't know a single Muslim person, you know, and now that's changing. I think there's a lot more Muslim people in the US, and there's a lot of Muslim people in the UK and France. So the British and French film industries have a lot more representation.
Oh, that's cool. Okay. I mean, and there's not no
of Muslims, if that makes you feel better.
Yeah. Well, I'm just curious about it. Like, and I feel
it's still not probably on par, but it's definitely more than the US.
Speaking of which, though, I have a good transition story for us.
Okay.
While we were talking about Harry Part 1, Spare Part 1, I noticed that you made a comment like along the lines of like, who doesn't know that like you have to curtsy when you meet the queen or something like that. Like it was something like, how did you not know that this was? I grew up Montclair, New Jersey. Shout out Montclair. Very diverse town. And when we were 23, one of my best friends, Steffi, who had been basically ruining the lives of all of the Muslim men, young boys in middle school and high school, she was just like taking all their virginities and then they were like seriously repenting and like blaming her for sinning or whatever. But she's always been called like attracted. She had like one super Italian, Joan Napoli. She had like one super Italian boyfriend. Otherwise, all the Muslim boys in school she dated. And they all fell in love with her. But then there was one who's kind of, he's just one of the Muslim guys we grew up with. They developed a connection and he actually held out, like played hard to get, like actually a devout Muslim, and was like, I am in love with you too, but I'm not going to like date you or fuck you or even entertain this thought because I'm a man of faith. She was so moved by this that she just was like, could you tutor me in Islam?
And he
was like, okay, listen to this. So he said, okay. So then with or without them even dating yet, with his help, she converted to Islam.
How old was she?
23. And they got married and are still together. Okay. But all through college, she was exploring this.
Did you say they are or they aren't still together?
They are. And we grew up with Ahmed, but like, we weren't that close to him because I will say that socially the Muslims kind of do their own thing because like they have a lot of rules. If they follow the faith, they're actually still like devout.
Yeah.
Or more of them are. So anyway, at their engagement party, I had two big faux pas where it's like you could say, like, Megan, you went to Model UN school or whatever. Sarah, you grew up in Montclair. This is a guy from your high school that she's marrying. Not only did I walk in and hug him and everybody immediately, which was not allowed, and Steffi had to pull me aside and say, like, it's not a big deal, but like, just I should just tell you like what happened in the room just so you know. So that was the first thing. So I actually insulted everybody by hugging first and foremost. I'm a Megan, I'm so sorry. Then in the middle of the party, it was like time, it was like prayer time. Like I noticed like at one point like a few people were like moving tables aside and like, you know, putting rugs down, and I thought that it was time for the big show. And so I announced, in overcompensating for having hugged everybody like an idiot and like insulting them, I was like, time for the big show. And I started turning all the chairs around to try to be helpful so that we could watch the big show. Because in my world, if you saw that going on, it would be like, the kids are going to perform now, you know?
What?
And so then I got everybody sitting there watching and it was just them praying. And I still think about that day with deep regret. And luckily, Steffi and Ahmed are two of my like genuinely like closest friends. They were in Philly when I was in Philly, and their kids, you know, their kids are dope. And yeah, when Steffi converted, I think a lot of our friends were fucking haters in the house. And I was always like, cool. Like,
yeah,
that sounds great. And like, she had some really spiritual moments that led her to it. And
when you were telling the story, it sounded like she was still in middle school when she converted. And that's why I was like, what? But 23 makes sense.
Like, no, she's been chasing the Islamic men her whole life. It's like the craziest. I've never seen anybody with such a specific, like, attracted to that.
That's funny. I think what you and Megan learned is sometimes you follow the lead of the host.
Dude, 100%. But it's okay to have to learn that. It doesn't mean she's a narcissist.
I know.
Or that she's like an idiot. But like, do you know what I mean? It's like everyone's like, how did you not know? And it's like, well, I don't know. I literally turned the prayer at Steffi's Muslim bridal shower into let's watch them pray. I mean, it was horrible, Molly. Like, I very rarely when I was young would leave social situations and be like, wow, you were the worst part. Like, you know, I take so much pride in sort of like making the party. And this was, yeah, Megan and I could learn, like, maybe just go shut the fuck up for a minute. Because like, yeah, if there was any time that I wish I could go back and just shut the fuck up, it would be that entire bridal shower.
Yeah, I feel you.
And then it's like, I get where they hate the Jews. They're like, this rude bitch. Like, how was she acting like so obsessed with like fucking with? I could see where they thought they could have thought that I was fucking with them.
I had a similar thing where over Christmas break, I was like, I get Meghan and Harry. I get Meghan not being informed by Harry what was going on with everything, because, you know, we've talked about this. Harry had one foot out the door, clearly. I think he kind of used Meghan to get out, which I think was a little bit messed up because she's probably traumatized. But
I think that she actually was completely down. I think she was like, oh my God, royal princess is the perfect next job for me.
Right. And I think he was like kind of pouring poison in her ear from the jump. Totally. Like, this isn't fair. My free house isn't big enough. Blah, 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 blah. So, but on Christmas Day, I hadn't been sleeping well. I had to work all over like the week leading up to Christmas. I was so exhausted. And Christmas morning, I decided to sleep in. And then like, I went downstairs and then I woke up and I was just like laying in bed, looking at my phone or whatever for like an hour. I was like reading. I was like, yes, I'm relaxing. This is amazing. And then I said to Nick, like, oh, what's the plan for today? And he was like, oh, nothing, you know, just it's Christmas. We're not doing anything. And I was like, oh, amazing. So then I go downstairs to get some coffee and like everyone's setting up for a formal lunch.
What?
And I'm in pajamas. I was in sweatpants.
Oh my God. Wait, there were people there like party planning? Oh my God. How could he say we're not doing anything?
And I was like, I got upstairs and I was like, Nick, we're eating.
There are people here setting up a nice luncheon.
Yeah. Like we're eating a nice lunch in a half hour. People have collared shirts and shoes on. Why didn't you tell me? And he was like, well, I told you we're doing Christmas.
I told you we're doing Christmas. Oh my God. Right. Fuck you, Nick. That is not a universal thing.
Right. And I have like, granted, I have been there before for this exact event, but like, I don't remember. It's a blur. So I was like, okay, I actually feel Megan's pain to just be walking in and be like, oh, by the way, you have to curtsy. Oh, I told you we're doing Christmas. Like what? I need formal wear now.
That's like saying like Netflix and chill. It's like, okay, but what does that really mean?
Right. Exactly. So, okay.
That's a good joke, but I tried it. I tried to get a joke in there.
That was a great preview of our next episode. Thank you everyone for listening to Space Trash, Lifestyles of the Rich and Uranus. We do this multiple times a week. We talk about celebrities and astrology. Usually there was no astrology in this one, but it usually makes it in. And if you want to support, go to patreon.com/spacetrashpodcast. So yeah, go join the Patreon, subscribe to the podcast so you can get it on your phone every day.
Yeah. Good night, big ugly face.
Space trash.
Trash in space.
Space trash.
Lifestyles, the rich and Uranus.
Space trash.
Celebrities, they're trash, but the astrology can help us understand.
Transmission incoming.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.